Okay.
Technical difficulties getting started, but I think I finally got it. So, I sent out an announcement yesterday that a section had been closed, because I got an email saying that a section had been closed. I got an email this morning at 10:15 that section was no longer closed. I'm the messenger here, folks, okay? Unfortunately, some of you have been shuffled. So, when you show up to the lab you think you're supposed to be in, but you're not in that section, the TAs will have the current roster, they'll go through it. If you're not in that section, it simply means you've been moved to a different section. You go to the stock room and we'll find you the correct section you're supposed to be in, okay? So, apologize for all this confusion. I was told they're dropping it, and then I was told they're not dropping it. So, lots of fun to start. So, anybody in here that didn't take 128K here at UT? All right, so, this is mainly for you, but everybody else pay attention, because some things have changed since the spring, okay? So, first and foremost, my name is Conrad Fetlin. I am the Organic Lab Coordinator here at UT. My email address is crfetlin@cm.utexas.edu. Office is NHP 1.128. Office hours this semester are Mondays from 12 to 1 and Thursdays from 12:30 to 1:30. If you cannot make those hours, contact me and we can set up a time outside of those hours. I really prefer in-person meetings. I really don't like doing Zoom. I've got way too many flashbacks from when I had to teach with it. So I will do it if there's absolutely no other way. But I do prefer in-person meetings over Zoom meetings. So, what do you need for the course? One, you still need a notebook. So for those of you that may have room in your notebook from last semester, keep using it, right? For those of you that currently don't have one, you only have two requirements. It has some kind of carbon copy capability, and it also has page numbers. Now, the page numbers actually isn't an absolute requirement. Most of the notebooks out there have that now, but it's the carbon copy capability that we really want. So if you've got one that for some reason doesn't have page numbers, you can simply handwrite the page numbers in yourself. So as long as you meet that criteria, we don't really care where you get it from. The one that they sell at the co-op is exactly the correct notebook that we prefer. The ACS chapter here at UT also sells a notebook that we accept as well. So you can go to either one of those places and get a notebook that will be more than good for the lab. The second thing you're going to need is a combination lock. How many of you forgot to bring your combination lock? Okay, so they may or may not allow you to check in. Hopefully they will, and what they'll do is lock the locker back up with the key lock. And then if you don't show up with your lock next week, you know, you're not going to be allowed to do the lab then. So talk with the stock room before you start the check-in process, because they said they're going to start cracking down on this. Again, this is the stock room saying, but if you don't have a combination lock, they do sell them right at the stock room, so you can purchase one. I think $10 is a reasonable price. So, you know, that is also another option. Three, is the textbook. We are using the online manual through the LPA program at co-op. I highly stress that you do get this, because most of the theory behind the experiments and everything that we do comes from that textbook, okay? And so we will really need it for the course. Any questions on required material? Okay. So those of you that have taken the lab before, what is the most important thing in the lab? Starts with an S.
Safety.
Safety, there you go. Okay. We use chemicals that can cause serious harm. We're going to be using concentrated sulfuric acid this semester. We are going to be doing a reaction. We're going to cool it down to minus 70 degrees. We're going to be using dry ice. We're going to be heating reactions and everything. So we want you guys to start the lab with all 10 fingers, all 10 pose, you know, healthy appreciation of the UT culture, etc., and not get seriously injured. Okay. To that end, we have some simple but strict safety rules. Okay. I'm going to go over some of them. The most important rule, number one, is goggles. They are supplied for you when you walk in the lab. They're in a goggle cabinet. You open the cabinet, grab a pair of goggles, and you put them on. While you are in the lab, they must be worn at all times. And yes, you do need to wear it today, even though you're just checking in, because when you pull out all that glassware, we have no idea what chemicals might have been left behind when the student checked out of that locker last semester, okay? So you do need to be wearing the proper safety attire, and so yes, you will have to wear the goggles. If you want to use your own, that is acceptable, but it must meet the requirements for the organic chemistry lab. This is not the requirements necessarily for a research lab. So if you want to wear your own goggles, make sure you show me what those goggles are, and I will okay them, or I will reject them, okay? Because EHS has a very specific kind of goggles. It has to be a complete enclosed system over your eyes. Safety glasses don't work, things like that, all right? Number two, you need to wear a lab coat. Again, these are provided for you on a rack inside the lab. So when you get your goggles and you move over to the rack, grab a lab coat, you'll put it on, you'll button it all up. While you're in the lab and in the organic lab hallway, you do need to be wearing your lab coat, okay? When you're finished, you put the lab back on the hook on the rack, okay? Three, you do need to be properly dressed. Pants, closed-toed shoes, and at least a short-sleeved shirt that covers your entire torso. Okay? So if you're not properly dressed, you're not going to be allowed in the lab, and so you can get properly dressed. A lot of people will bring pants with them, or scrubs, or sweats, or something like that in their backpack. You change into them before you go in the lab. When you're done with the lab, you can change back out. The only requirement is you cannot leave those in your locker. They always have to leave with you, and they always have to come with you, okay? So just please keep that in mind, that you cannot keep clothes in your locker, because chemicals will be in there, and we don't want you to get exposed to a chemical through that. Last, number four, is the common sense rule, which is no eating, drinking, etc. in the lab. We wouldn't want you guys to eat any of the chemicals that you're making. So if you don't eat anything and you don't drink anything, the chances of that happening are actually very, very, very small. Okay? So as you can see, these are really straightforward. They are simple, but we do want to make sure that you are constantly following them. So, if you want to learn more about safety in the lab, here at the homepage for the Canvas page of the lab, you click on this safety link, and that takes you to the Organic Lab safety page and the general safety rules. So I just covered 1, 2, 3, and 4, but as you can see, there are many more, and they're really simple. No horse playing, no running, things like that. It's a very simple, very easy to follow, very common sense stuff. And again, the reason behind this is because we don't want you to get hurt, all right? We don't want accidents to occur, but unfortunately, we are all human beings, so we are going to make mistakes, and accidents may happen. And so if an accident does happen, we want to make sure that any kind of injury is minimized to the fullest extent. That's what we are trying to do. The safety page has changed a little bit from the spring semester, so I'm just going to go over this. All of the safety rules and everything for the lab are literally located right here. You don't need to go anywhere else for how to practice proper safety. We do have a water bottle policy. I'll cover this briefly. We do not like stranding water bottles in the hallway. So water bottles are not allowed to be on the floor in the hallway outside of the lab. If you have a water bottle, it needs to be in your backpack. When you walk into the lab, you put it in one of the cubbies, and it stays there at all times. If you need to get a drink, you grab your water bottle, you leave the lab, you take your drink, you come back in and put the water bottle back, okay? This way we don't have all those water bottles strewn across the floor. And we have about 15 water bottles from last semester, and they're really nice, by the way. We got some Yetis in there. Really nice. We can't do anything with them, okay? I'm not saying you should do this, but if you have any kind of entrepreneurial kind of ideas, you walk around any lecture hall at UT late at night, there's always 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 water bottles sitting in there. Let's say you grab a couple. You take them home, you wash them, you clean them. Yeah, one you can use yourself or have even sell. Don't do that, obviously. You're not allowing that. I'm just saying, there's a lot of money in these water bottles. You guys buy some really nice ones. So please remember to get your water bottle. And if you lose it, we do have a lost and found. You can always go there and ask because we find them all over the place, okay? All right. There are rules about how we enter the lab, when we need to leave the lab, how do we do that properly, and everything else. And then we have some standard operating procedures. The thing that has changed is F, it used to be pressure. I've actually changed that to extraction because it's more fitting. For extractions, because that's the only time pressure comes up in this lab. So whenever you write in a report or you're doing an extraction, you use that now. Okay, so I'll talk about the SOPs and the EOPs here in just a minute. But are there any more questions about safety before we move on? Okay, so your grade. So the grade is composed of two parts. This has not changed. Oh, sorry. Thank you. The grade has not changed. There is the post-lab quiz. And there is the report. Each post-lab quiz is worth 70 points. And each report is broken up into two parts. There's the pre-lab report, and then there's the whole report. The pre-lab report contains 10 points. The whole report, when you turn it in, the rest of it contains 90, such that the total number of points for each report is 100. Okay? So let's talk about the quizzes, which, according to the class reviews I've read last semester, you guys didn't like very much, which is okay. Everybody's allowed to have an opinion. One thing that I have changed from the spring semester to now is that I am now assigning pre-post-lab quizzes. These are practice quizzes. So they are going to be covering questions that you will see on the quizzes themselves. Okay? And the quiz is a post-lab quiz. So next week, we'll be doing our first experiment, which is the Grignard experiment. You take the post-lab quiz the following week, and it only covers the Grignard experiment, okay? And there are still the three types of questions that I ask. There will be two safety questions. Again, anything on that safety page is fair game, okay? The two other types of questions I will ask are theory slash data analysis questions. And that is what I try to spend a lot of time on in the post-lab practice quizzes, giving you some example data analysis questions and theory questions. Another thing that I'm gonna start doing this semester, I haven't done it yet, but it is on the slate, so I should have it finished before next week, which is, what are the main concepts from the reading material and my lectures that you need to worry about? And I'm also going to include a list of words in which the definition should be known. Okay? I have always said, hey, if it's a bold print or italicized word, you should know the definition. I'm just going to literally list them all. Okay? I'm going to go through all the reading assignments and say, okay, here's the 10 words that you need to know the definitions of. Okay? So I am trying to give you guys more room, more stuff to work with and how to prepare better for the quizzes. They're still the same type of quizzes, but I am giving you some more help in preparing for them properly. Okay? And so please keep in mind that this is an ever-changing situation. If I find out that something is not working, I will try to correct it and make it better. Okay? And I do read all of those comments that you guys fill out. I read them all. Some of them were very hurtful. Okay? But I'm an adult. I can handle that. I've gone through several rounds of therapy that have enabled me to accept who I am. All right? So, like I said, there's a lot more help. The practice quizzes are in the assignments page. I tried to make sure that there are no points associated with them, but occasionally I may miss it. So one thing you need to be aware of is that if it says 0 out of 10 points, that has no effect on your grade whatsoever. If it says 10 out of 10 points, it has no effect on your grades. I'm trying to go through and make sure I get rid of all the points. These are just practice questions. And I give you the answer, and I explain how do you come up with the answer, and so forth, okay? So that is the post-lab quiz. Are there any questions with that? Yes?
It's not really a question, but I think there might be.
What might? Is this not one? guess we weren't completely technologically set. How about now? Yeah, I think it's on now. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much, by the way. I appreciate that. Any other questions with quizzes? All right, so the report. Now, if you click on this link right here, which is the syllabus, this has everything in it that you will need for the course. And starting at the top, at the bottom of page 2, it starts talking about the report itself. So like I said, the pre-lab report consists of parts 1, 2, and 3. Number 1 is the heading, that's simply the title of the experiment. So you write down Grignard experiment, Grignard reaction. I don't like Grignard reactions, but this is what I'm doing today. Something like that as the title of your experiment, that's all it requires, okay? And then we have the safety analysis. It says it has 3 parts, but really there are only 2. The first part is the standard operating procedures. So you click on the module for the Grignard reaction experiment, and it will have the procedure. You go through the procedure, and you identify which one of those SOPs, the standard operating procedures, are we using in the lab this week. So again, let's go back to the safety page. 4 of them we use every single week. A, glassware. We're using glassware every week, so you need to include that. B, we're using organic chemicals every single week, so you need to include that. C, disposing of waste. Since you will be creating waste every single week, you need to include that as well. And then D, wearing gloves. Anytime we handle a chemical, we are wearing gloves. Okay? So for the operating procedures, again, you read the procedure for the experiment and you say, okay, SOPs, A, B, C, D. They're literally every single experiment reported right up, A, B, C, D. Then which one of the other ones are we going to include as well? So are we heating a reaction? If we are, you include that. If we're not heating a reaction, you don't include it. If we're using bromine, you include it. If we're not using bromine, you don't include it. Okay, so you simply list A, B, C, D, E, whichever one of the SOPs are being applied in the experiment we're using that particular day. That's all you have to do. You just list the letters. You don't have to copy them down or anything like that. Okay, so that is the standard operating procedure portion of it. The next part is a hazard analysis. So again, if we look on the modules, and you get to the last slide, which it should open, there we go. You click on this hazard analysis link and it gives you 4 scenarios. You need to answer 3 questions with regard to these 4 scenarios. 1, what is the hazard? You know, is it broken glassware? Is it a needle? Is it an electrical situation? What is the hazard of this scenario? So you have to identify it. 2, how do you avoid this hazard? Okay, you've noticed that your hot plate plug has a major cut in it where you can actually see copper wire. All right, that is an electrical hazard. What do? You don't plug the thing in. If it's plugged in, you don't touch it and don't turn it on. Okay, let's say you didn't avoid the hazard. You didn't see it for whatever reason. What do? And that's where you're going to need to look at the scenario itself. So, for instance, needles, putting the cap back on. We don't ever do that in lab. The reason is because if you do, you're going to potentially poke yourself. Believe it or not, some people have a problem putting the cap back on the needle, and they miss and they end up poking themselves. So how do we avoid it? Don't put the cap back on, okay? If we did put the cap back on and we did miss and we did puncture ourselves, what would that be considered as far as an SOP, an EOP, or whatever? It would be an accident. You've gotten injured. And what do? Hey, you tell your TA right away, I just accidentally poked myself with a needle. Okay? So that's what you do with those four scenarios. You simply identify the hazard, how do I avoid it, and then what do I do if it wasn't avoided? Okay? So that's the second part of the hazard analysis. The third part is the SDS sheets. That information is all available to you in the module. So we'll go back a couple of pages. And so all of the SDS sheets, by the way, I'm trying to get used to calling them SDS sheets, and it's very difficult sometimes. I was raised with MSDS. So if you ever hear me say MSDS, I'm actually referring to SDS, and as you can see, I haven't edited out the end yet, because I'm not giving it up quite yet, all right? But all of that chemical information is right here. And we use the abbreviated MSDS sheets. It's a link, it's a PDF file. I recommend that you print them all out, just keep them in the back of your notebook. But that's basically all you have to do for the SDS sheets is identify where they are. They're on in the module on campus, okay? It's all you need. And the reason this is important is, let's say you do get accidentally exposed to a chemical. Hey, if you go to the health center, I got exposed to this chemical. You have the SDS sheet with you because you printed it out. And you tell the doctor, I got exposed to this chemical, here's the sheet, and so forth, okay? Hopefully that will never ever happen, but if it does, that's the purpose of that, all right? So that is the last part of the safety analysis. And then the last part for the pre-lab write-up is number three, the purpose. This is a 5-sentence paragraph saying, what are we doing in lab and why are we doing it? I basically go over this in lecture. So for instance, Grignard experiment. Next week, we will be doing that. One of the purposes is to run a Grignard reaction, okay? We're gonna try and synthesize benzoic acid. And there'll be a couple other things associated with that. And you simply have to state what the purposes of that individual experiment are. And there is always a hint, not necessarily of what the purposes are, but how many there are, because when you turn the report in, there's a rubric assigned to that, and you can look at the rubric and say, hey, there's three purposes in this week's experiments, and you at least know how many you have to include. I'm not gonna tell you what they are, but I'm at least telling you how many there are, all right? And again, I go over all of it in the lecture itself, and so that's the pre-lab write-up. Any questions with that? This needs to be finished before you come to lab. So next week, you need to have your pre-lab write-up finished for the Grignard experiment. When you walk in the lab, your TA is simply going to check to make sure it's done. You're not going to grade it, you're just simply going to check that it's done. If it's done, you're pretty much getting all those points. If it's not done, you have to leave the lab, and you're not allowed back in until it is finished. And you lose those 10 points if that happens, but that really isn't the worst. Worst is that you lose the time it takes to finish it. And you're not allowed to do a makeup lab if your pre-lab write-up wasn't finished. And the time you have left is the time you have left. And if you don't finish the experiment, you don't have all the data necessarily, which means you can't complete everything in the data analysis and data section for your post-lab report. And that's where it's really going to kill you. Okay, so just make sure it's done. And that's all you have to worry about. All right? Then the last part of the report. 4, 5, and 6. 4, data. I tell you what data and results you need to have. So if we swing down here to the work schedule, period 2, organometallic reaction. That also could be a title, by the way. You can simply copy this. There's your title. You don't even have to think. Product analysis, melting point, IR spectrum, and percent yield calculation. So as long as you have all of that in your data section of your report, you're getting those points, all right? So this is really kind of a free, you're going to get these points if you have them in your notebook, all right? So that's the data portion of it. Number 5 is the data and results analysis. So if we go back to the module, go forward a few pages. We see data analysis. This, by the way, is an extremely simple, by the way, D, I'm going to delete that because I've gotten rid of it. I just forgot to delete it here. They're straightforward questions. With data analysis, you need to know, if you have this data, what is that data telling you? And just as important as that, what is that data not telling you? Okay? I realize many of you, if you've gone into some higher level classes, this may be somewhat much easier for you, but usually if you're a sophomore at this level, you're just starting out in this process. And so one of the things I'm doing is I'm walking you through what your data is actually telling you. So question number A1, what is the melting point? You simply write, here's my melting point, A1. 72 to 73 degrees Celsius, okay? Question A2, what does the melting point data tell you? All right, that's where you're gonna have to remember. Melting point tells you 2 things. It tells you identity, and it tells you purity. If your melting point range is 1 to 2 degrees Celsius, that's a relatively pure sample. If it's broader than that, that means that it's not pure, there are impurities present. And again, your product is supposed to melt at 72 to 73 degrees, you now have something that says you did make the correct molecule, okay? And so you go through all of these questions, you don't have to write the questions out, you just list the question identifier, A1, B2, whichever one it is, and then write the answer there, okay? And they are very simple, straightforward questions. A lot of people will think, oh, this has got to be a complicated answer. No, it's not. The simpler the answer, the better. Especially the questions like, were there any errors? Why did you have these errors? What did those errors result in? Okay? Simple example, you burned your toast. Why did that happen? Because you didn't check the dial. Somebody cooked a bagel in the toaster before you, and you didn't check it to bring it back to 3, and it was set on 9. Okay? So why did it happen? The simple answers are the most logical, probable ones. Yes, occasionally it's because of something much more complicated, but rarely. And the thing about the complicated answers, well, if you're saying that I got these results because of this, well, if it's because of this, and you should have also seen this, this, and this, and not that. But you saw not that, and you didn't see this and this. So now you have to explain why you still think it is that explanation, and how are you seeing what you're not supposed to see, and how are you not seeing the things that you are supposed to see. Okay? So again, you've got to think about this. And think, okay, what's the easiest, most logical explanation here? I didn't set the dial on the toaster properly. It's not No, there was a massive electrical storm. My house got hit by lightning right when I hit the coast. And that massive surge is what caused my coast to burn. Is that likely? Yeah, it could happen. Is it probable? No. Okay. So again, very simple questions, very simple answers. Six, conclusion. Remember that purpose stuff that you wrote in the pre-lab? You got to say, hey, how did it go? Was it a success? Did you achieve all the purposes? I made benzoic acid. My yield was a little low, but I did make it. Okay? So all you're doing with the conclusion is saying how well the experiment went, did you achieve your goals, and why did you not achieve them, etc. Okay. Usually one paragraph, usually hopefully about no more than 6 to 8 sentences long. Okay. So all of this stuff is handwritten in ink in your notebook. Okay? Unless you have accommodations that say otherwise, you are writing everything in ink in your notebook. If you make a mistake, you don't rip a page out of your notebook and start over again. That's a serious no-no. For this lab, no, we're not going to fail you. We're not going to do anything like that. But I will tell you, in industry, those notebooks are actually legal documents. And I saw somebody get fired because they ripped a page out of their notebook. Because the lawyers look at that and go, what were you trying to hide? What did you not want us to see? It was just I wrote down the wrong number. Well, unfortunately, that's not going to cut it because that page is gone. Okay? Make a mistake, you simply cross it out with one line and then you continue writing. Okay?
If you have a printout like an IR spectrum or something like that, obviously you include that. Your report that you turn in is parts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, again, along with spectra or any other kind of data printouts that you have created. We are still doing it exactly like we did it in the spring. You are converting that to a PDF file and then uploading it to Canvas. And then once it's uploaded, the TAs will grade it with the rubric and everything, okay? So one thing about Canvas and uploading PDF files, don't take pictures and paste them into a Word document and then save it as a PDF file. Because that file could be 500 megabytes or bigger. And uploading that might take forever, and there's a really good chance it won't upload properly. So scan it in as a PDF file. Okay. If you don't have access to a scanner, I do know they make some for your phone apps, but I highly recommend a scanner if you have access to one, because it makes it real easy. You just load all the pages, it scans them all in, saves it as one PDF file, and then you upload it. And they're usually only about 2-3 megabytes in size at most. Okay. One other thing about uploading them. After you've uploaded, don't assume it has uploaded properly, because there are many instances where something went wrong. And so after it says, hey, it uploaded, you go to the assignments page, you click on your report that you just uploaded to make sure, yes, everything loaded properly. Because if you don't do that, your TA is looking for your report when it's time to grade, and they're like, you didn't turn it in on time. Right? And now you have to rely upon sending an email to me and your TA saying, hey, I uploaded it. Here's proof that I uploaded it. It just didn't upload properly. I know this is the fifth time this has happened. Will you please not count my report late? Okay? Yes, I have received an email from the student like that. And I said, yes, we won't count it late. But I wasn't happy when I sent that email. Okay? So to avoid your stress,
and the stress you're going to put on me and everything else, please double, triple check that it has been uploaded properly. Okay?
Due dates. If you slide down to the last page, it tells you when everything is due. Okay? So this is something new that I have added that wasn't in the spring. This tells you for period one. By the way, the way the periods work is this is period one, next week will be period two, etc. So for period one, we're just checking in, so nothing's due. For period two, next week, the 10th, pre-lab write-up. You have a Grignard lab, a Grignard pre-lab write-up that is due. Nothing else is due. Period three, we're doing the kinetics versus thermodynamics, so you need a pre-lab write-up for that, and there will be a post-lab quiz for the Grignard reaction. But the report is not due. So this tells you when all the reports due, when the pre-labs are due, when the post-lab quizzes will be taken, et cetera. So it's kind of a quick look at this. This is what's due this week. You can also find this on the Canvas homepage. So I have also included that for a click, you know, quick glance there so you don't have to open up the syllabus. Okay? So the first report will be due, the Grignard report, which is due in period four. So when you walk in the lab on period four, your Grignard report has already been submitted to Canvas. When you leave lab, if it has not been submitted, it is now late. You don't want to turn things in late because the late penalty is 50% off after 1 week. Don't bother turning it in. Now, yes, I know that's harsh, but I'm also very understanding, okay? Life happens. Your engineers, your chemistry majors, you're busy, okay? Things happen that are completely out of your control. You're driving down I-35 and somebody runs into the back of you and you're like, uh-oh, you get in a car accident, you get out, try to check everything, and then you pass out because of the high heat. When you wake up 3 days later in a hospital, your parents are sitting there going, this insane. Takes a couple of weeks to get everything back, and that's when you realize, oh crud, I forgot to turn in my Grignard report. That's when you contact me and say, hey, this is what happened, okay? If I don't know what's going on, I can't help you. All I'm trying to say is if something is happening, contact me and I will work with you, okay? But don't let the date pass. Again, if you're unconscious, I'll let that slide. But if you know, there's no way I'm getting this report turned in on time today, let me contact Dr. Fetland, let him know what's going on, and see if I can get an extension. I almost always grant a 1 or 2 day extension, okay? There are only certain instances where I won't. They have to be very specific. But like I said, I do understand. Professors, you've got 4 exams in 1 week. That's just the way it works out. We don't get in a meeting and decide, the week of September 3rd, we're going to screw all of these kids. No, that's not what we do. Okay, that's how it works out. And so if something like that is happening, if you've got family in town, your grandmother, your best uncle, whatever, and you want to take them to 6th Street, okay? You haven't seen this person, your best friend that you haven't seen in 6 years, whatever. Just let me know, all right? I understand these situations and I can help you, but I can't help you if you don't let me know. And after grades have already been submitted, it is almost impossible for me to help you. And invariably, somebody is always in that situation. Well, why did I get such a low score? Because you had 2 reports turned in late. Why were they turned in late? Oh yeah, this happened to me. Can you give me, can I get that change? Grades have already been submitted, okay? And it's harder to do at that point. If I know ahead of time, it's very easy to make corrections, okay?
So any questions with about due dates or anything like that? Okay.
Back to this. Makeup Labs. Makeup Labs, Fridays from 1 to 5. So that hasn't changed. And we still have the same policy. If it's an excused absence, you will be guaranteed a makeup spot. Excused absences. I was ill. I do include things like my sister's getting married. I'm in the wedding. That's an excused absence. Sorry, sis, I can't be a groomsman because I've got to go to Oakham now. Your parents will hate me for the rest of your life, okay? Not going to happen, all right? You're in some sort of UT event, something like that. Something that is completely out of your control. I was in a car accident on the way to lab, okay? Those are all excused absences. You are guaranteed a makeup spot. If it's an unexcused absence, what is an unexcused absence? Concert this week. Have to go see them. Favorite band. By all means, go. All right? It's just unexcused. What does that mean? It means you're not guaranteed a spot. I have never once had a student not be able to do a makeup lab, regardless if it's excused or unexcused. But all I'm saying is that unexcused absences are not guaranteed. And I sign you up for a makeup lab if it's unexcused. If that makeup lab is full, and it usually starts getting full right after OU weekend, never really figured that part out. But if you're the last unexcused absence to sign up and the makeup lab is full and an excused absence comes after you and says, I need to do makeup lab and this is the only Friday I can do it, I'm going to bump you. I will email you and say, hey, you're not doing makeup lab tomorrow. I have moved you to a different Friday. Well, I can't do it that Friday. Okay, come in and see me and we'll put you in a makeup lab on a Friday you can do, okay? I have had to bump a few people, but in the end, everybody has been able to do their makeup lab, all right? Having said all that, theoretically, there will be one day a student that, due to circumstances, isn't able to actually do a makeup lab because of their unexcused absence. I haven't come up with a solution for that yet. There will be something. I'm not gonna screw you over. I just haven't thought about it because I haven't needed to. But I will come up with something so that it's fair to everybody, okay? You'll still be able to get data and all that stuff. I just don't know what the solution is, all right? So just keep all of that in mind, that if you miss a lab, regardless if excused or unexcused, you come see me. I sign you up for a makeup lab on a particular Friday, and you follow all the directions from there, okay? So any questions about makeup labs? All right, a few things that have changed, I do want to go over. So one thing is, you guys may have noticed, I'm using an iPad now. No longer writing out hand, I'm still writing them out. I'm just using an iPad. And so every lecture has a template that's already been created. You can download that template, it is a PDF file. You have an iPad or an Android tablet, whatever it is, load it into that, and you can take your notes along with that, or you can simply write on the printed PDF file. Okay? After lecture, I'm going to then upload this this lecture note. I'm also recording it, and I'm going to upload the recording as well. Okay? So that is something, and then you're not seeing it because I didn't do that. but anyways, all of the templates for every lecture are here. One of them is missing because I haven't created that one yet, but I got a couple of weeks. All right? Something that has not changed is my sense of humor.
it's still terrible. All right? So what happened to the first, to the dad who was playing peekaboo with his son? He got hurt, so he had to go to the ICU. There you go.
All righty. Let's go to lab, folks.
Thank you, Dr. Pepper.
You're welcome.